Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
Indeed it is, Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann. We're joined today by newly re-elected EP Rugby President George Malchas. George, thanks for your time. A hard-fought election against Willem Olifant. A narrow margin of three votes, 119 to 116. You were victorious over the weekend. Your reflections on the campaign, how are you feeling?
Good morning, Darren. Good morning to the listeners as well. Yes, I agree with you. It was a hard-fought, narrow victory at the end of the day. But I also think democracy is the winner of the day because clubs were allowed and, as expected, voted freely and fairly. It was so confirmed by the electoral officer as well as the team that we put in place. You know, we are very, very much on ensuring the integrity of the process. Mm. At the end of the day, it was a long, hard campaign. We traveled the length and breadth of the Eastern Cape where our constituents were, played open with them, open cards, transparent, integrity, honesty. As you will recall, I based my campaign on integrity, honesty, stability, and then continuity. I'm actually very pleased that, you know, that part of our campaign was not tainted by any promises or financial gain and or test matches being brought here and or clubs being supported otherwise. I was very careful not to make those kind of promises, but only to rely on the honesty of the process and the track record that we had up to now. I'm relieved, honestly, I'm relieved. And then lastly, as I indicated, it was a bit close for comfort. But at the end of the day, that only indicates to me that there's work to be done to bring everyone back under the same umbrella again and everybody pulling in the right direction. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, Darren.
We're looking forward to stability as EP Rugby fans. Can we look forward to stability now? Once the dust has settled on this election, will you and your opponent, Mr. Olifant, be able to work together for the betterment of EP Rugby, George? What do you think?
I sincerely believe so. I'm an optimist. I would take what I believe a role where I desperately try and bring Willem Olifant back into the fold. I believe he has some value that he can add to Eastern Province Rugby Union. For me, at this stage, the value seems to be the fact that he can unlock some funds within business in Eastern Cape, nationally and otherwise. I think his campaign was based on the fact that he was willing to put money into the union. And I'm going to be very, very humble in knocking on the man's door, setting up a meeting with him and say, look, wherever there's money that the community can benefit from, where Eastern Province can grow, I'm willing, and I have done that in the past, to work past our differences. For me, elections are quite a hostile environment. That's the nature of it. And certain utterances are made, which we sometimes later on regret. But for me, when I started out the campaign, I said, guys, when we are done, we are still one part, one rugby family, and I need to look you in the eyes. I need to see you at rugby games. You need to come into the EP office without feeling that you are going to be victimized and so on. So when I campaigned, I made it clear that the intention is wherever there's money, wherever there's anyone willing to put his hand up, I'll make the time with my team and we're going to sit and chat. So Willem, I'm going to send him an email by Monday and I'm going to ask him to avail himself for an appointment, a setup. We can go and have coffee or something and have a general chat, and then if he's really keen on getting involved, there's room. There's ample room for him to become involved as well.
Outside of that being on your to-do list, as the newly re-elected EP Rugby president, what are some of the other priorities, the first orders of business that you want to deal with, George?
First one is later today I'm off to Cape Town. I'm meeting with South African Rugby Union in two meetings tomorrow regarding the equity deal and the effect and influence it has on EP Rugby Union and the landscape as it is. So once we have clarity on that one, I think we'll be able to then determine how we're going to deal with our finances going forward. Number two, I think it's important, as I said earlier on, that we need to unify all the clubs under one roof and get them all to pull together in the right direction. You know, what punctuated the instability in EPRU in the last 6 months is the fact that there were some dissidents and there were some elements who was not willing to work with us as Eastern Province. Now, I've got to make a concerted effort to go and talk to those guys and say, gentlemen, this rugby is much bigger than all of us. We are not here for our own personal gain. We are here serving a community. Let's put our differences aside. I've indicated to some of the presidents of clubs in this last week, gentlemen, I need you to come back to me in the beginning of the year and give me a list that you would want EP to do. Send me your to-do list. Where have EP gone astray? Where have we fallen short? And what has worked for you? In January, we'll be having a boss barat as the executive. We'll be looking at all the complaints, if I may call them so, or all the inputs of all the clubs. And then I think from that, we will craft a plan that when we get to the end of January, we well on the road to having a unified Eastern Province Rugby Union. The other one I've intimated to you is to get a commercial arm, keep it going as soon as possible. I've identified a role for Willem Olifant in the commercial arm. The commercial arm is also subject to the meetings I'm having in Cape Town with other possible investors and those that are putting me in contact with those investors. So commercial arm, getting unity, ensuring the systems work, structures are in place. That's all within my immediate to-do list within the next 30 days to 30 days to 60 days approximately.
You mentioned going to see SA Rugby there, George. What's the relationship like between EP and SA Rugby at the moment? It's been fractious at best the last couple of seasons. And then following on that, rugby fans would love to know, what would it take to get a Springbok test match back in Gqeberha?
That's a good one, Darren. And I think that's also part of my focus to ensure that we will have a rugby test. I've looked at the calendar, and from the calendar that was provided by SA Rugby, we are hosting Italy as well as Australia in the country, as well as an Argentinian test. Now, one of the calls we have to make, I think, and this will need a little bit broader consultation, do we hold back and say, look, let's let Italy go somewhere else? Not that I'm disrespecting Italy, but we obviously want a first-year test that's going to really pique the interest of our people. So if need be, I will say, let's put our mind at it to say, look, let Italy go and play in Bloemfontein or wherever at Cape Town on the condition that we can get the New Zealand test there next year, or even then possibly even Australia to come this way, so that we can really have a test that's competitive, that is taking us to the next level. But the indications I've received from Rian Uber, also the CEO, and I think this directly links to your question, what the relationship is with us. And I've had a couple of engagements with Rian, with Mark Alexander, and with Francois Davids, and we said, but yes, we may have to wait our turn for 2026 to have the All Blacks, yeah. But what do we do in 2025? And the engagement with Rian was, we're trying our utmost and best to bring the under-20 championship where Argentina, New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa compete to the city. It's about a 3-week or 2-week tournament where they win. It's the equivalent of the championship where the senior teams play, except for in this one, they all play in one venue. In 2024, it was in the Gold Coast. So it's international rugby, but at under-20 level. So my immediate one is to say, let me try and make that one a reality for the under-20s to play. South African Springbok under-20s, as well as the New Zealand and Australia and Argentinian counterparts. And that will be a nice festival of rugby for about 3 weeks with a final and a knockout and so on. And I think it's just going to whet our appetite for what is to come in 2026. I believe that's a strong indication that we've mended our bridges with South African Rugby Union. We've always had good open discussions with them. I think integrity has been restored. I have access to the top structure of SA Rugby at any time. They are willing to assist, to mentor, and to so on. And I've received messages of congratulations from them, wherein they've indicated, look, we're really behind you, we're going to support you, and we look forward to see EP take its rightful place again, which is, in my view, already a shift as far as the relationship that was in the past.
Yeah.
Let's put the past behind us and move forward for the best interest of the region.
You've mentioned young players. Let's stay on that theme, George. It wasn't too many years ago, 2015, in fact, that EP Under-19 won the Under-19 A Section Currie Cup. Our academy seems to have fallen off the pace since then, and we're still producing incredible schoolboy players, youngsters. Other unions are poaching them. What are we going to do in terms of rebuilding the academy so that we don't lose all this talent every year?
One of the major coups I think we managed to pull off just before the election was to get our son of the soil, Alistair Kutsia, back on home turf. We have a contract in place with him that he's the head coach and for 3 years, and there's a fourth year. Now, at this stage, the idea is by year four, he will become the director of rugby in Eastern Province. Now, Alistair has set a program in motion where he's already gone. In fact, yesterday in the morning, he had a meeting with the junior school coaches at our offices, giving them his rugby experience and what he expects of them in terms of the alignment as to how our coaches will be. Now, if you start at grassroots level, which is junior school, he's done the same at high schools, and he has spoken to the university. I believe that the university plays a crucial role, that once the boys are through high school or going through high school, the university should jump on board and, yeah, include Rhodes University, who's part of our region. They should be on board and provide bursaries for the boys to play. Yeah. We are in a collaboration, in partnership with the university at the moment to ensure that our university, Nelson Mandela Bay, is returned to the varsity cup and not in the varsity shield where we are playing at the moment. To ensure that we are in the varsity cup, I think our issue is we need to make sure that our high school players find their path into the universities. And that, why do they leave our shores? Because no bursaries are being provided. Why do they leave our shores is the fact that we don't have the finances to keep them there. Yes. And honestly speaking, if you look at what they are being offered by other regions, universities, and so on, I couldn't understand why we're not able to match these universities and academies throughout the country who's pinching our boys, and they will go play at the Griffins or Griquas and so on. But most of the boys that you talk to will tell you, but actually I want to stay at home. I'm comfortable here. I grew up here. All my family and friends are here. So that is a serious talk that's taking place at the moment. Yes, those that went through the 2024 season, they're gone. But we've made a data list of who's still around and whether they will be enrolling at universities and so on. And at the moment, my good friend there, Mr. Danny Gous, is really active in pursuing those boys. And even those that have left a year or two ago, he's active in pursuing them by arranging bursaries and so on. So once the level just below them see that there's room, there's an opportunity at the university, and we're playing in the varsity cup, and that is your pathway into the senior team, I think we will do well in retaining a number of our players and even attracting boys from other areas to come and play with us. But it's a hell of a lot of work that lies ahead. But we are committed and we are ready to do so.
Last one for you this morning, George. Ultimately, your success as a union is going to be judged on how you perform on the field of play, whether there's success or not. You have appointed Alistair Kutsia. How is he progressing so far? The players in training at the moment, can supporters look forward to new blood into the province? Give us a sense of what's going on with the first team at the moment.
Thank you, Darren. Yes, things are looking up. I've been in and out of the office in the last 2 weeks. And when I get there, you find a group of players who's just about to take the training field or who's just back from the training field. And they're really hard at work with Alistair at the moment. There's a group of approximately 25 to 35 players on a day-to-day basis. And the irony of the matter is most of those players that go there are the group that we had last year and some others which we've added to develop them, the strength and conditioning part of it. And they are quite keen on coming to the province and coming to practice and train and get themselves battle-hardened and fit for the 2025 season. So there's an excitement amongst the players. They are very keen on training. We are in the process of sorting out contracts for them, for a number of players. So we'll have a core team with contracts. And then we have been in discussions with four players from around the country who are players that plied their trade here and were poached to go play in the Premier Division of the Currie Cup. Some of them at franchise level, so they played in the URC and other similar competitions. So if we are able to sort out our finances, which I strongly believe we're going to do so in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we've got an intention signed by those players saying we want to come back. Can you just give us a guarantee that we'll have a 12-month contract on the table? At present, depending on what happens in Cape Town on Friday, at present we're only allowed to contract for 8 months, which is a major stumbling block to get players here, because the next 4 months becomes a problem then because they're basically unemployed. But we have bridged that gap this year in retaining some of the players by offering them some form of remuneration in terms of other forms of employment for the 4 months. And business has been very, very good to us in that regard, that those players could then go into work in certain businesses whilst being available to train. But the names I'm not at liberty to share, but it's top-class players who've played the game at the URC level, who's willing to come back, and they're very keen to assist us in our province.
And on that positive note, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Good luck with the difficult job and congratulations on the re-election as EP Rugby President, George Malchas.
Thank you, Darren. Go on.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.